Let's talk fantasy sports, real sports, esports, and some betting. Now, here's your host Dave, and some mix of Connor, CJ, Zub, Brian, and Nick. It's the one-stop shop for your gaming and fantasy needs. This is Sports Euphoria.
All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, however it is you may be listening, wherever it is you may be listening from or to. Welcome to another episode of the Sports Euphoria Podcast. It's me, Dave, your host. Welcome. This is the Week 11 preview and the Thursday night review from last night. We're going to talk about that horrible game. Hey, if you hear me interacting with anybody on anybody, I am live on Twitch at Sports Euphoria, live on Facebook at my name. These do go live if you're the audio version on Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever the case is, whatever it may be. You know, that's where you're going to hear me. So if you hear me interact with anybody, that's what it is. That's what I'm doing. So I appreciate it. You know, we had a little technical difficulty with the first, you know, recording, but we fixed it. Everything's good now. Good to go. App had an update, so you know what's going on. But anyway, we are going to just get right into it. This one's a little bit more outlined. It's me flying solo today, so this one's a little bit more outlined. Like the last one, I appreciate whoever listened to the last episode. You know, it fantastic, beautiful. Thank you so much. Past couple of weeks have really had a lot more people watching and listening, so it means a lot. Thank you so much. But it with that, like I said, being said, we're just going to go right into the Week 11 Thursday night football game, which was against the Falcons and the Patriots. Not the greatest of games, unfortunately. No Cordell Patterson, and it goes to show you what happens. Even with him last week, you saw what happened with the Falcons and the Cowboys. But Quadre Allison had a really, you know, had the best game of the running backs. My one buddy and I started Mike Davis. Took a shot, thought maybe something. You don't expect the Falcons to get shut out. They almost weren't even shut out, but there was a penalty on a field goal. And Koo had to kick it again, and he missed. And, you know, it happens. So I lost a point in one of my leagues. Wonderful, right? Matt Ryan, terrible game. Josh Rosen, terrible game. Felipe Franks had one pass attempt, and that was even picked off. So he technically went one for one, but, you know,
He didn't. 0-for-1 and an interception. It was caught by somebody. Game was terrible. Sucks to suck. I had Kyle Pitts going in two of my leagues. He only got me a couple points. It wasn't good. Wasn't pretty for him. He's their only option right now until Patterson comes back. And hopefully Calvin Ridley gets what everything situated out with himself as well in regards to that, with everything he's going through. But it wasn't the greatest of games. You know, Russell Gage had a nice game with 5 catches, 49 yards. Got you 9 points, you know, almost 10. But you wouldn't have been really playing any of these guys anyway. I know I didn't really preview this game, but Kyle Pitts, you're going to play him because the tight end situation is just terrible. So it's just kind of going to be what it is. And Mike Davis, you're getting dropped everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. So, sorry for you, Mike Davis. That's a lot of money they put into you, and it's not paying off, but it happens. You know, these things happen. Giants paid Janoris Jenkins a couple years back, and look where that got him. Anyway, Patriots, Mac Jones, solid game again, 22-26. One interception, a touchdown. Only fantasy relevant in two quarterback leagues or dynasty leagues. He's still young. They're not, you know, he doesn't have to sling the ball around the yard, especially this game. They've just played very conservative. There's no reason to introduce anything new to him or show your hand with things that are new, like things that you're trying out. Just go out there, your defense is playing great, and do it. When he has to sling it around, I'm sure he'll sling it around the yard just fine. Ramondre Stevenson had a very good game in regards to just in general. He did have a catch, but he had, you know, 69 rushing yards as well. And Damian Harris had a good game as well, but they're going to be a split backfield now. They're just going to be split, Stevenson and Harris, and either one of them is going to have a good game or the other one's going to have a good game. It's a Bill Belichick running back offense. You know, if you've been around playing fantasy for a while or just watching football for a while, you know what the Bill Belichick running back offense looks like. Receivers, I mean, if you had Nelson Aguilar, I don't think you were starting him unless you're in like the 14, 16, 18 team leagues or even deeper than that. Kendrick Bourne, 4-for-42, and Aguilar, 5-for-40 with a touchdown. Kobe Myers had 4 catches as well. He led the team in targets, so he's still being targeted the most. And Hunter Henry had a bad play with miscommunication with Mac Jones for a touchdown. It was in double coverage, so I don't even know if Henry would have come down with it, but that led to Aguilar's touchdown. I believe it was Aguilar's touchdown. If not, it was a field goal. But nonetheless, each running back had a catch. Just kind of the defense was the story of the game. They had 4 interceptions and a touchdown. That's kind of the defense, you know, in fantasy land scored more points than the entire team. And Nick Folk is just a fantasy god. But yeah, that's the Thursday night game. That's what that was. That's what that is. What are you going to do? I got offered I was asked about Mike Gesicki a couple days ago. I traded him. I traded him away for Parham from San Diego, Los Angeles, and a pick. I think it was a 3rd-round pick. I have to double check. I don't remember. It was a 3rd-round pick for this year for rookies. So that got rid of the Gesicki thing. But you know, I'm rolling with Pitts. He had his bye week already. Dynasty guy, and I have Parham now for next year. So good, another good young tight end, and I also have Tyree Jackson, which kind of backfired a little bit because the Eagles just extended Dallas Goedert. So you hate to see that, but Tyree Jackson could maybe get some playing time this week if Goddard doesn't play. So he'd get to, you know, I picked him up before that happens. And he's young too. But with that being said, I'm going to jump into the previews for the following weeks, for this upcoming week, I should say. I broke it down a little bit more. Last episode was more structured. I had notes to recap every game. I'm going to do that the same thing again this week, or next week, I should say, for this week's games. And I did the same thing for this week, for the previews, I should say. I have starts of the week for people that I want to start and any of the co-hosts that are going to be coming on with me. They'll be able to see these notes as well and these questions so they can kind of prep, come up with their own things, come up with their own talking points. And I can, you know, move the show along that way. But we have start of the week, dud of the week, or duds of the week, sleeper of the week, and trust or bust, which I don't know if I'm going to be able to get into solo-wise. It can be a little tricky solo-wise, just because I want to be able to have some sort of dialogue with it. But trust or bust is essentially you kind of go through the games and you give, you say a player, you know, Antonio Gibson, you know, oh, he's a 7. You know, I trust him on a scale of a 7, or, you know, the higher the number over 5, you trust him more, the lower the number closer to 1, they're probably gonna be a bust this week. So that's kind of where I'm going with that. I like to think it's a good idea, you know, but we'll see, you know, trying these different things out. I want to get some feedback to kind of see what you guys think about that and if it helps you guys win your weeks as well. But yeah, we're going to jump right into it with the Jets game. Jets Dolphins. Oh, actually, I lied. Sorry. We're going to go into the start of the week. The starts of the week, I have A.J. Dillon as an obvious. I have A.J. Dillon from the Packers, that is. Nick Chubb from Cleveland and Dave Montgomery from the Bears. Just those are just mine. I didn't want to just give one. I wanted to give a couple because it's just me for right now. So A.J. Dillon obviously must start. Nick Chubb must start. Dave Montgomery, I think they're going to exceed their expectations, exceed their projections. I had something I wanted to say, and I forgot what I was going to say. But I do apologize about that. So a dud of the week is somebody who I think is going to be performed lower than their expectations. So I have Antonio Gibson, any Jacksonville running back, and yes, this is my hot take that Zeke is not going to perform as well as people think he's going to. And I'll get to that, cover that when I get to the game. But Antonio Gibson, any Jacksonville running back, and Zeke. My sleepers of the week, people that are projected lower but are going to exceed those expectations and finish towards the top of the charts this week. I have Jeff Wilson from San Francisco. Elijah Mitchell may or may not play. He's now doubtful for the game with a broken finger that he broke on Sunday. Did have surgery already, so if he can take some snaps, hand the ball off, carry the ball, or take handoffs, I should say, then we'll see how that goes. Deontay Foreman from Tennessee. They are playing the Texans. I expect them to just blow them out of the water, and there is no Jeremy McNichols. He is out, ruled out with concussion. And then Myles Gaskin. And I'm going to talk about a little bit more about Myles Gaskin when I cover the Jets-Dolphins game. I just kind of don't see how the Jets can stop Myles Gaskin. He is a sleeper, but he also scares me because he could, when they played, I think it was Tampa, he had crazy big game. You wouldn't expect it, you know, these kind of things. So he's been getting a majority of the touches because of no Malcolm Brown. So I want to see if he can do that again. Because I think, you know, just, at least in my one league, we just need one more week because Miles Sanders has a terrible matchup this week. And maybe Foreman can carry us too, depending on how Foreman does in one of my leagues. So we'll see. But yeah, Jeff Wilson, Deontay Foreman, Myles Gaskin are my sleepers. I think they outperform their projections by a decent amount. So now with that being said, Myles Gaskin, we're going to get into the Jets and Dolphins. Myles Gaskin, can we trust him? It's been inconsistent. I think this game against the Jets, we will be able to. I think he's going to show that he's going to, you know, get a majority of the carries. All their skill positions, I like them. Well, their number ones, basically, Gesicki, Waddle, and Gaskin. Tua is going to have a big game. This is he has to. If Tua doesn't have a big game against the Jets, you have to question everything if you're a Dolphins fan. I know there might be a Dolphins fan watching right now or listening. If Tua does not do well against the Jets, ouch. Like, serious, got to, like, look at the mirror and, like, think about it. Because that's not good. Only Jets player I really trust, if you took him on a, like, thinking Zach Wilson was going to start slinging it around, doing things like he was in college, you took Corey Davis. But other than that, Michael Carter, long shot, Elijah Moore. Sorry. Just because a lot of dump offs fired with Joe Flacco. Flacco does still have the arm, so maybe somebody can get past him, but I really think that it's going to be a big dump off game. And if Flacco's seen what Josh Johnson did and Mike White has done, hopefully he could just do the checkdowns and Mike LaFleur calls a good game and he just does what he's supposed to do to get Zach Wilson to next week. And that Jets organization is just a shit show as it's been this whole week. I just don't understand what they're doing. Next game is going to be Colts-Bills. Question is, you know, how I feel about Jonathan Taylor. He's Jonathan Taylor. He's tied for the league leading in rushing with a guy who's been out for 2 weeks. In Derrick Henry at 937 yards. So it's Jonathan Taylor. I see more of a split between him and Hines because I really think they're going to try to run the ball a lot and take the ball out of Josh Allen's hands and minimize the time that they have the ball, the Bills, that is, just like Jacksonville did. Crazy to think, right? And then I really only trust Taylor on the Colts. Michael Pittman scares me. The Bills defense is good, and I really think they're going to try to play the time of possession game. I really think that they're going to try and slow the game down and, you know, kind of tight ends might have bigger games. The slot, you know, maybe 5 catches for Pittman, but I don't know if he has the yardage game. Maybe they get into the red zone, but it's going to be dependent on, they're going to try to control the clock and control the ball because they're going to have to slow down the Bills offense. Diggs is going to have a field day against these guys, an absolute field day. Hopefully Emmanuel Sanders can do something as well, because I don't know if Marquise Brown is going to be able to play. I have him in the league, so I'm going to have to start Sanders if Brown can't go. I like the team-wise that should set up something for Sanders, especially because Cole Beasley is still dealing with a rib injury. And then really just Diggs and Allen. There's 3 running backs now apparently in Buffalo: Matt Breida, Zach Moss, and Devin Singletary. Dawson Knox, like, you just don't know. I mean, you like to think, but it depends on how the defense does. The defense gets turnovers, short fields. It could be another 4-touchdown game from the running backs, from, you know. So it's really hard to gauge what's, because the Colts are like on that, they're that fringe team. They'll destroy, you know, the Jets that are terrible, or they'll play the close game against the Titans, or, you know. But the Titans don't have a super explosive offense. The Bills actually have an explosive offense with a quarterback that can throw it a country mile. Like, so I'm interested to see what happens. But Diggs and Allen are the safe bets. And if you need somebody, Sanders, and obviously tight end is Knox for sure. I just got a text message from somebody. I got to see what's going on. there's trade talk and other video things that are happening right now. See, this is why you got to watch, you got to listen to podcasts and watch, because you just don't know what's going to happen here at Sports Euphoria. It's, you know, things happen, constant deals going on all the time. Getting distracted. Next game, Ravens Bears. If both Ravens receivers play, I love both of them. Now, Bateman is going to play. From what I've seen, Bateman is going to play. Marquise Brown is the question mark that I have, because of his thigh. You know, see what happens. They could, he was hold out of practice, limited practice, did not practice. Could just be, you know, holding up to make to see how he is come game time. But if both receivers play, huge games from both of them. If one receiver plays, if Bateman plays, I expect a big game both from Ben Andrews and Bateman. Their third string, fourth string receiver is not playing. Devinky. I want to say Duchovny, like David Duchovny, but it's not. But I've drawn a blank on the pronunciation. I don't know why, I should know it. So like Watkins, Andrews, and Bateman. But I expect, because Watkins the fumble last week, I expect more Bateman and Andrews and Jackson to probably run the ball a lot more. He came back and was a full participant in practice after missing 2 days because of an illness, non-COVID related. So this could be Bateman's breakout game if Brown doesn't play. And Brown's been an injury-prone player. So it's really kind of hard to, like, the fact that he's gotten this far and hasn't had an injury or missed much time is very, you know, good to see from him, especially in certain leagues that you're playing, keeper, dynasty, things like that. I am in a dynasty league and I do have Marquise Brown, so I'm very, very happy to see him playing well and at a high level and being their deep threat, having, you know, averaging the average depth of target, you know, being tops in the league. But yeah, and real quick, I got a question on Twitch. How many leagues am I in? I am in 6 current leagues, managing 7 teams. The wife and I are both in a league together, and I help her out with her team. Yeah, so 6 actual leagues, but I have 7 teams that I kind of am doing. But I also co-manage another team in the one league that I'm in with one of my buddies, one of my friends. We do co-manage it together, so that takes a lot of the pressure off of having to, you know, I know somebody else is going to be able to do a lineup if I can, or put waivers in or things like that. Bears, I like Mooney and Montgomery. Those are probably 2 of my favorites. Obviously, I have a start of the week being David Montgomery. I think he does really well because the Bears are going to try to control the ball a lot and keep it away from the Ravens because of their home run ability and how good of an offense they actually are. And I think they get the running game going this game again because there's no Khalil Mack. He's out for the season. They did sign Bruce Irvin, but I don't know how I feel about that. But I do like Mooney a lot. It's Allen Robinson, Cole Kmet, but Fields has rapport with Mooney and he's been building more rapport with Kmet. So I do think Mooney is going to have a good game this game. Could be a breakout game for him. He had a really nice catch against the Steelers for the bye last week. And Fields is really coming into his own. I think they have, with the bye week, more of a game plan. You know, Fields looks good. And with the rushing yards he can get you in fantasy leagues and in leagues like that, and he can get in games, I think he's a sneaky play come late season, depending on how their schedule looks. One of these episodes, I will do a strength of schedule for the end of the season for playoffs to see who has good playoff things. And I'll try to get a couple people on for that podcast so we can kind of cover a whole lot. You don't have to listen to my, you know, extremely annoying voice for an hour plus. But I think Justin Fields scores over 20 points this week as a QB. So if you two quarterback lead, a league, load him up. And if you have, you know, Stafford on a bye and need somebody and Fields was available, or you pick Fields up in anticipation of Stafford's bye, you know, then pick up Fields. I think you'll be good. And like I said, Mooney and Montgomery, big games. Next game, Lions Browns. The only people I trust here, as you could see from my start of the week, is Nick Chubb and any other running back, which is Dearness Johnson. Those are the only people that I trust for Cleveland. DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones, may do something getting behind somebody if he plays, but I know he's been dealing with an injury as well. And then they're just run the ball first, and they're going to be so ahead. They're just going to probably, like, Baker or Case Keenum's probably going to throw the ball. If Keenum's, I don't even know, but they're probably going to throw the ball maybe 12 times against the Lions, like maybe 12 times. So load up any, I mean, Dimitri Felton might get a ton of points for Cleveland. Okay. The only people you're playing, I mean, the only one you feel confident about is DeAndre Swift, just because, especially with the quarterback that's going to be playing for the Lions, backup Boyle, checkdowns, tight ends, running backs. I had these notes before I knew that Goff may have not been playing, so I like the tight end to begin with, but DeAndre Swift is a stud. Jamar Jefferson is ruled out, so it should be him and Jamal, or just DeAndre by himself. So a lot of Hockenson, a lot of Swift. But Hockenson had a 0 point game. Dude, Hockenson was terrible. How can you confidently start TJ Hockenson? You're taking him where you were taking him in drafts, like as a starting tight end. Because it's just like, oh, Jared Goff's competent. No, Jared Goff's not competent. Tim Boyle's gonna be fucking starting quarterback for the goddamn fucking Lions. Imagine the quarterback controversy if the Lions beat the Browns. Anyway, Texans Titans. All right. In Foreman, we trust. Okay. I have Deonte Foreman as one of my sleepers. I like Deonte Foreman. No McNichols. Peterson's looking his age. He just can't stay with it anymore. I like Foreman a lot. He can catch the ball. He never got a chance really in Houston. He was injured. If he can stay healthy, I like him a lot. He's going to score a touchdown. He's going to score a touchdown. I'm calling it here. Deonte Foreman is scoring a touchdown. AJ Brown has a good game because Texans are just terrible. And then Brandon Cooks, because Tyrod Taylor's got to throw it to somebody. Got to throw it to somebody. And that's really it. Marcus Johnson, if you need somebody. I just think that the Titans are going to be so far ahead. Marcus Johnson's going to be irrelevant. I mean, if you're starting him because you had Julio Jones or you had Robert Woods or you have a Rams receiver or you had OBJ pre-trade, look at starting him in your maybe 12 team leagues, definitely 14 to 16 team leagues, but 10 to 12, if you need them, I guess play them. I wasn't in a huge rush to pick them up. I always try to go receivers in my draft, so I'm deep at receiver because you can play more receivers. There's more, like, it's a pass happy league. So if you need to make something up, you can always make it up in receivers, where running backs are always harder. So I always usually have less running backs on my team. It's just weird. But I always have, you know, more receivers because any receiver at any point in time can go down, just like any running back. But, you know, I have Christian Kirk in one league, you know, obviously Marquise Brown in one league, Elijah Moore in another league, Corey Davis, it went down. So there's always just, there's a plethora of receivers. Running backs are like, you know, which again, I guess you'd think makes no sense because you can just always get a receiver, but a lot of people tend to go running back. So I like to just go receiver. It's usually my mantra, unless the draft falls differently. But with that, let's go to the next game. Packers Vikings. Aaron Rodgers is going to play better and AJ Dillon's going to have a huge game. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is still a crazy good quarterback. But fantasy wise, he just hasn't been there. He's had, you know, 3 touchdowns and 250 yards or 2 touchdowns and 300 yards or whatever the case may be. But they are trying to get more and more of a balance with running the ball. So it's really taking down Rodgers' numbers. But he has a better game than he did last week against Seattle. I don't doubt it. And like I said, AJ Dillon, plug him in. Unless he fumbles 3 times on 3 carries and I just gave him the jinx, he'll be fine. I mean, you could maybe pick up Patrick Taylor in case Dillon gets hurt, but Jones isn't going to be missing much time, maybe 2 more weeks after this week, so a total of 3, but you never know. Packers defense. Kirk Cousins is a proficient NFL quarterback. He's been around for a while. He's seen a lot of defenses. He's made the playoffs. He made the playoffs? Yeah, I think he made the playoffs. Philly Cobb made the playoffs at least once. I could have misspoken, and that's fine if you want to come at me for that. It's not a big deal. But I want to see if he can play 2 games in a row, 2 good games in a row. You know, Jamar Jefferson. Oh, my God. Justin Jefferson had a good game. You know, but when I say good game, I mean he's not turning the ball over. He's getting, you know, pass plays. Because the Packers defense is going to – they've been showing up more and more and more. Can Dalvin Cook have a good game? Can they get the running game going? It's going to help Cousins with the play action. You know, Justin Jefferson's a handful to cover. You know, how do they cover him? You know, does Alexander shadow him? Does Conklin have a bigger game because they're going to try to get pressure on Cousins. Does Thielen step up now because they're going to try to take away Jefferson? It's very interesting. And if Cousins can make the throws, I expect a little bit of a better game from Thielen. If you've had Thielen on your bench or been afraid to play him, you can plug him in this week. I'm confident about that. Just because you try to always take away a team's best option, and that's Justin Jefferson. So Thielen should get his fair shares. As long as Cousins puts him in the area, Thielen will get him. I mean, that's football, though, anyway, right? But yeah, I mean, obviously, you're Cook, you're Jefferson. I don't like Cousins. Those are, you know, your guys. You're Adams, you're Dylan, you're Rodgers. Those are your guys. And if I don't say to start somebody, like, you're starting the studs. If I don't want you to think that I'm not saying, oh, don't start Devontae Adams. No, you're playing them. I just don't. I'm talking about the borderline people, the other people, you know. Saints Eagles. Trevor Siemian is a sleeper. Jameis Winston always tries to go for the big throw. Always tries to, again, keeps his eyes down the field. Tries to, you know, push the ball down the field. Respect it. I do. It's why he had 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. And threw for 5,000 yards. But Siemian takes the defense gives him. Again, a former starter, has seen defenses. No Kamara hurts. Ingram should still have a good game, help with the play action. Eagles pass defense is very good. But Siemian takes what the defense gives him. Troutman, look for Troutman to have another good game. Traquan Smith, Deontay Harris. They're going to, you know, I don't see Slay shadowing anybody, but Simeon's going to take what he gives it, what the Eagles give you. Ingram, like I had touched on, you're going to start him because just Mark Ingram, man. The guy he's a starting running back in the NFL. Nobody else is taking touches from him. Start him, especially obviously when there's no Kamara. Just sheer volume. They're just going to hand the ball off. Sheer volume. And then Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith had two good games in a row from a fantasy perspective. He has three touchdowns in the past two games. You love to see that from the former Heisman winner. Had a great catch last week. Shows you he can go up and make those tough catches against a very good cornerback. Jalen Hurts putting it in a place where his receiver can get the ball. Also making moves, rolling out, making good throws, keeping the play alive. Jalen Hurts is stepping into becoming a more and more proficient quarterback as well. But they've also established a running game, something that they should have been doing, oh, I don't know, the first 6 weeks of the season when you had Miles Sanders? Any Miles Sanders? Not that I own Miles Sanders or anything in the league. But seriously, come on. You gotta. That was to Sanders. If Sanders plays, it still scares me because the Saints' run defense is top notch, okay? They're like third in the league in run defense and rushing yards allowed. Just don't. Hurts is going to get his, but if Goddard doesn't play, I still like Jackson at the tight end position because Goddard is in concussion protocol. But Smith, Watkins, you know, they have other receivers, and I don't expect Lattimore to shadow Devontae Smith by any stretch of the imagination. And Devontae Smith is probably going to be able to beat a coverage here or two, a time or two. It just depends on if Jalen Hurts can make those throws again like he did last week. He's going to have to throw the ball more, so I expect a bigger game from Devontae Smith than previous weeks from a reception and target standpoint. Especially probably more shorter intermediate throws, crossing patterns, slants, you know, curls, drags, whatever the case may be. I expect more of that because they're going to try to want to get him the ball and have him make a play. But that's Saints Eagles. Next, Washington Panthers. Emotional game here. Cam Newton against Ron Rivera. Riverboat Ron. See what happens. Don't like Taylor Heineke. Don't like Terry McLaurin. Not crazy about Antonio Gibson. This is going to be an ugly game. I don't see this being like, oh, 21 to 30. No, it's probably going to be 17 to 10. it's going to be boring and it's going to be a lot of CMC because he's a no-brainer. You're going to play Gibson because you have to. Again, he's a dud. I don't think he's going to do much. They're not going to play McKissick. Panthers have to, their linebackers are good. Their cornerbacks are good. Their defensive front is good. The Panthers have a good defense. Highly underrated. That's one thing that's at least been constant for them because their quarterback plays ass. Anyway, McLaurin's the best option at receiver. So what are you going to do? You're going to take him out of the game. How are you going to do that? He's going to get put on, he's going to get Gilmore'd. Stephon Gilmore is just going to be like, bye-bye McLaurin. Going to eat him up like a Pac-Man. You're playing CMC, no doubt about it. DJ Moore scares me. Cam Newton is not the most accurate passer in the NFL by any stretch. He has rapport with DJ Moore. I'm sure a couple years ago you guys saw that video about Steve Smith talking to Cam Newton saying, oh, should I start this DJ Moore guy? You think he's worth it? So like DJ Moore coming out of college, people know who he is. He's a top receiver. The kid can play. Quarterback's up. And everybody knows what bad quarterback play does to a receiver. Look at Odell. I'm just saying, you see these things. And Antonio Gibson. He looked better last week, but I just think that the Panthers are going to get ahead and control. It's just they're going to run the ball. Taylor Heineke's not going to do very well passing because he's probably going to throw a lot of incompletions and a lot of interceptions. Panthers defense probably gets a touchdown. I'm just saying, Panthers defense gets a touchdown. Now watch, they just beat the Bucs, they come out on fire, but I think it could be a big letdown game. You're on this high, and then all of a sudden you're coming in and you're playing the Panthers, and you just beat the Bucs, defending Super Bowl champs, and then you just put up a goose egg. Just saying. 49ers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jeff Wilson, if Mitchell plays, you're probably going to play Mitchell. And it scares you to start Wilson because Mitchell's out there. If Mitchell does not play and he went from questionable to doubtful, I do like Wilson. He got play last week and he knows the system. He's played in it longer than Mitchell has. Not saying he's a better running back than Mitchell, but he knows the system. Keep that in mind. I do not trust any running back for Jacksonville, but if you have to play one, it's going to be James Robinson. However, he is still questionable and may not play. And in that case, you're not playing Carlos Hyde, and it's going to be even more of a shit show. And then if you own Kittle and Deebo Samuel, you are playing Kittle, you're playing Samuel, and you ain't even having second thoughts about it. Now, I know you're probably thinking, Dave, they're supposed to blow him out. Why are you going to throw the ball? For the first two and a half quarters, they're going to go to put points up on the board. Just like you saw Indy do against the Jets for the first two and a half to three quarters, they were like, oh, touchdown, up, touchdown, up, touchdown, up, touchdown. San Francisco wants to make a statement, and Jimmy G wants to make a statement that it's not the Trey Lance era yet. Expect Kittle and Samuel to still have good games. Kittle having, you know, maybe now. Okay, efficient games. Kittle might get you 3 for 60 and a touchdown. You'll take it because that's because Jimmy G's probably only going to throw the ball 16 times. Samuel, you know, can run it for a touchdown. Samuel can take one to the house so he can get, you know, 5 catches for 80 and a touchdown. You'll take it. Brandon Ayuk might have 3 catches for 40 yards. You'll take it. On the third downs when they need to throw the ball because it's 3rd and 8, you're not going to run it. That's what they did against the Rams. I expect a lot of that again, and then more running on the back end. Next game, Bengals and the Raiders. Jamar Chase, Joe Mixon. Jamar Chase and Joe Mixon. I do like T. Higgins here as well. Just because number two receivers against the Raiders tend to have success. And they showed you they can't cover for nothing. So they're probably going to try to take away Jamar Chase to not get burned and make Higgins beat them. They're going to get pressure and the Bengals do not have a good offensive line. So they're going to try to slow down the rush by running the ball, hence the Joe Mixon. But again, T. Higgins, a big body, a big red zone target. Okay? And you're going to take away Jamar Chase. They're going to do that. They do not want to get burned by Chase. Take something out of the Jets playbook. And I saying that, it does scare me with Joe Burrow. And why I wouldn't necessarily play Burrow is because of that offensive line. Max Crosby is a beast. I think he still leads the league in pressures. The guy's crazy. That's what scares me. And then Bryan Edwards. I like Bryan Edwards. I do. Got talent. Stretches the field. Has some speed. No more Ruggs. Not as fast as Ruggs. Anyway, I love Hunter Renfro. Hunter Renfro is making himself like a reason to be started every week. He's going to get you six catches in like 60 yards or 50 yards and a touchdown. Dude, if they're at the five-yard line, it's going to Hunter Renfro, and you're not stopping it. He's running the same route he ran when he was at Clemson when he caught the game-winning pass to win the national championship game. It's going to happen. And you're playing Waller because tight ends are terrible right now. So you're just going to play Waller because it's Darren freaking Waller. I don't trust the running back still, like, because it's Jacobs first, you know, 10 carries and 60 yards. And it's, or I don't know, 13 carries and 60 yards. And it's Kenyon Drake for 8 carries and 30 yards and 3 catches for 20. Like, what? So, I don't know. The next game, Cowboys and Chiefs. Don't take me down, Twitch. It's going to be a shootout, though. There was news before I went live. Amari Cooper tested positive for COVID and he's unvaccinated. So that means he ain't playing this game and he's not playing on Thanksgiving. Get yourself a heaping serving of Michael Gallup. Now watch, Gallup's going to drop every pass thrown to him because every time he has an opportunity to step up, he shits the bed. But get up, Gallup. Start him. Also, deeper leagues, Cedric Wilson. Cedric Wilson. You're starting everybody. You have Zeke, you're starting him. I said it earlier as a dud. Zeke could have a dud because it becomes a blowout or a shootout and you need Tony Pollard in there to catch the ball so they don't know what you're doing. I get it. It should be high scoring. Okay? You're just starting everybody. You're starting Hill. You're starting Kelsey. You're starting Mahomes. You're starting Darrell Williams because they haven't cleared CEH yet. And if he does play, you're still starting Darrell Williams. You're starting CeeDee Lamb. You're starting Michael Gallup now at this point, and you're starting Dak Prescott. Shit. Start Tony Pollard too. Start them all. You remember that Rams-Chiefs game a couple years ago when Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes were playing? And we were like, oh my God, we want that to be the Super Bowl. Like, have the Rams and the Chiefs. They were just throwing it. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. That should be this game. Because you all know Trayvon Diggs can't cover for shit. You all know that. Can't cover for shit. Gets lucky as shit. Can't cover for shit. Just start them all. That's it. It's going to be a good game. It should be a good game. Now watch. It's going to be a defensive struggle. It's going to be like 3-3 in the end of the third quarter. I'm going to shit myself. It shouldn't be. Especially if the Chiefs are playing how they played last week. You should be fine. Cardinals. Wait, where did my Giants game go? Why didn't I have the Giants game on here? Oh, I did. It got deleted. Whoops. Anyway. My apologies for that. I don't know how that got deleted. But Cardinals Seahawks. I don't think Murray's playing, but they may have to play him because Colt McCoy has a pectoral injury and may not play as well. Interesting. Hopkins, nothing. Start Christian Kirk. KK. Excuse me. Also, Seattle's run defense, not the greatest. James Conner from 2 weeks ago, keep an eye out. Lockett is due for a game, and so is DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf been locked up, getting a little frustrated, had to deal with Geno Smith for a couple weeks, then had the whole issue last week, and Russ, DK and Lockett go as Russ go. First game back for Russ, had to get adjusted with the finger, work off the rust. I expect a better game from Russell Wilson, and he's going to be cooking up some stuff, all right? Let Russ cook. Metcalf and Lockett both get touchdowns this game. Like I said, Christian Kirk, if Hopkins is not playing, and he is not, play him. He's been killing it without Hopkins, and he's been showing you why he's a viable option. And it's been hurting Rondell Moore, because I know they like Rondell Moore, but Christian Kirk said, not so fast, buddy. I'm getting paid first. Back of the line. But yeah, just Cardinals. If Murray plays, he's not going to be running much. And probably a lot of, Kirk and Connor. Next, Steelers and the Chargers. Mason Rudolph might play. Big Ben is still in protocol. If Mason plays, he had a lot of rapport with Ray McLeod. I like a sneaky play of Ray McLeod. Especially deeper and DFS leagues, okay? Super deep leagues, 18, 16, 14 teams. Ray. Because you saw what they were doing against the Lions. They couldn't throw they barely threw the ball to Deontay Johnson. What the hell is he doing? And obviously Najee. If Mason's playing, a lot of Najee. Chargers have a terrible run defense, so you should get Najee. And I believe Bosa, COVID issues, so I'm waiting to see what happens there. Chargers got to wake up on offense, man. They have not been looking themselves lately by any stretch. The Patriots, it's not looking good. Herbert's got to wake up, started off hot, got to finish strong, man. People, you're slinging it. You're spinning it around the field, man. You cannon, super, uber talented. Wake up, though, dude. You can do something. Like, I don't know what Staley's doing, but come on. And where in the world is the early season Big Mike Williams? My one partner, my one league, like, yo, let's pick up Mike Williams. Let's pick up Mike Williams. No. We got Keenan. We didn't pick up Mike Williams, and we traded Keenan Allen. It happens. For the couple weeks, we could have had Mike Williams. We probably could have won those weeks. So, yeah, but, at the same point, we were able to maybe get other players that we have now. Because we didn't get Williams, and he has been absolutely doing nothing. And then we unfortunately traded Keenan Allen, and he's been playing better for Myles Gaskin. So, hopefully, Gaskin can do something in my own league. But Keenan's going to have a big game. Chargers secondary is still a little banged up. Especially because Samuel will probably be on Mike Williams to take away the deep stuff. And Eckler. No TJ Watt this game. A lot of injuries for Steelers. This is a game where the Chargers can really get back into the groove. This is their get right game. There's a lot of injuries for the Steelers. And I think the Steelers could just get blown out of the water. Especially with no Big Ben. It's just going to be ugly. But like I said, Najee and Ray, because if they get down big, Mason's going to have to throw the ball, check downs to Najee and Ray, fast little jitterbug. So keep that open. Obviously you're going to play Deontay Johnson where you took him, but just don't feel terrible when he lets you down again. Cause it's Mason Rudolph.
Last but not least, the Bucks and the G-Men. If Andrew Thomas plays this game and everybody can go back to where they go on their offensive line, Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley have big games. I'm just saying. No Vita Vea for the Bucks. They've been giving up three of the last four games. I believe they've given up 100 yards. At least 100 yards. Three of the last four. Okay. Saquon supposedly was going to be able to play against the Raiders. False positive COVID. Got the week off. Gets the extra week off for the bye week. Comes back. Saquon, I need you for my leagues. Okay? You're starting them. What's the running back situation looking like? You know, you're starting them over. You're starting them. The Giants defense has been playing well, and there's clearly no AB. So the question is, can Bradbury stick with Evans and not get burned? And can McKinney and the rest of the Giants defense contain Chris Godwin? Their defense has been a lot better. What is Fournette going to do? Are they going to be able to pressure Tom Brady and make him feel uncomfortable? How much is this Antonio Brown fake COVID vaccination card going to affect them? It seems silly, but you have to answer questions about it after practice. You got to answer questions about it before the, it just kind of can mess with you a little bit. What do you think? How do you feel? Like, are you guys all, do you all have fake vaccination cards? Because apparently he got a lot of them. It could be a distraction. Not saying the Giants are going to go out there and they're going to win and put up 42 points. I just think the game could be a lot closer than expected. And Kenny Galladay and Kadarius Toney are not on the injury report at all. At all. You got a healthy Galladay and you have a healthy Kadarius Toney. And who on the Bucks is covering them? If Thomas plays, I'm telling you, Jones is... Oh, God, I can't wait for this game on Monday. This should be a better Monday night game if Thomas has been out with his foot. I'm telling you, Thomas has been like a top-rated left tackle when he was playing. It was disgusting. It allows Solder to go back. It allows Pete to go back. It allows all these different players to go back to other positions, and hopefully the offensive line does well. And Daniel Jones doesn't have to worry about Solder yelling, look out, whenever he yells hike because he misses the block, and now it's a lookout block. Okay? The Bucks scare me from the standpoint of it's a copycat league. What was Washington doing with no Chase Young that was affecting Tom Brady? The week before, the Saints. What can Patrick Graham's defense do to slow down the Bucks? They're going to be playing with a vengeance. They're going to be coming back angry. But what are they going to be able to do? Tom's going to definitely be motivated to want to do stuff because he's just a different breed. But is he starting to actually show his age? Is he losing a little zip on the ball? Just saying. His mind's there, but is his arm still there? Just saying. So that's a review of all the games. We'll go through real quick. I think we'll be able to do a little like trust thing, I guess you'd say. Trust or bust. Let me take a look. Okay. So let's see. Just for like the tricky ones, Myles Gaskin, 7 for trust, 7 on the trust, Jonathan Taylor, 8, you know, AJ Dillon, 10, Joe Mixon, 8, Fournette scares me a little bit, 6, Robinson, 4, Saquon, 5, Montgomery, 7, Gaskin, 7, Michael Carter,
for, you know, so that's kind of, you know, what I'm going with. Gibson four, Alex Collins five, Deontay Foreman six, Mark Ingram six, Darrell Williams six, Zach Moss four, you know, like J.D. McKissick not at all, you know, Miles Sanders, if he plays, four, 3-4, Peterson, three, Devontae Freeman, three, like those types of things. Jeff Wilson, if he plays, seven, I trust him a lot, you know. So that's kind of, you know, what I feel about the running backs from those games and those situations. Let's go to wide receivers quick. Who do we trust? Who do we trust? We go down. I don't trust any of the Jets running back receivers. Corey Davis might be the only one I trust the most at a four. Elijah Mitchell, two. You know, Colts Michael Pittman, four. Emmanuel Sanders, five. Diggs is a 10. Ravens, Bateman, seven. Brown, if he plays, you know, seven or eight. They're both eights or sevens. Bears, Darnell Mooney, six. Cole Kmet, five. Nobody from the Lions. Nobody from the Browns. Obviously, you trust DeAndre Swift. If he's your eights, your Nick Chubb's your tens. Brandon Cooks, you trust as a four. So he's a, you know. Deontay Foreman, we trust, seven. A.J. Brown, nine. Devontae Adams, 10. Justin Jefferson, seven. You know, DJ Moore, five. Terry McLaurin, four. You know, Deebo Samuel, eight. You know, Marvin Jones, three. Jamal Agnew, I have more trust in, six. Jamar Chase, seven. T. Higgins, seven. You know, Hunter Renfro, I trust him, seven. Bryan Edwards, five. CeeDee Lamb, 10. Michael Gallup, seven. Tyreek Hill, 10. Mecole Hardman, three. Just don't trust him. You just got to try to know who to trust. So, Steelers, Najee, you know, like I said, Najee Harris, the running backs, 10. Keenan Allen, 8. You know, that's it. I don't trust Mike Williams, 4. You know, not really crazy about Jared Cook, you know. So, Bucks, I don't know. I don't like Mike Evans, I give him a 6. Saquon Barkley, I give him like a 6 or a 5. Chris Godwin, a 6 or a 5. Like Leonard Fournette, 6 or 5. You know, Brady, 6 or 5, like 6 or 7. Daniel Jones, 5 or 6, maybe 4. Like, you know, so that's kind of how much you trust. Trust or bust, man. Trust or bust. Man, quarterbacks, you know, obviously your Lamar Jacksons, your Josh Allens, your Mahomes, your Dak Prescott's, you trust them. Tens, Tom Brady, like I said, Jalen Hurts is a 7 or an 8 for me. Kyler Murray, I don't even know if he can play. Justin Herbert, it's Pittsburgh, you know, an 8. Ryan Tannehill, 5 or 6. Joe Burrow, 7. Aaron Rodgers, I trust Aaron Rodgers, just don't know how good of a performance he's going to have. You know, so 7, Tua, higher on him. You know, 7, Derek Carr, 6, Russell Wilson, 6, Cam Newton, 3, Kirk Cousins, 5, Daniel Jones, like I said, Justin Fields, I trust a little bit more, 6-7, 6.5, you know. So that's what I, you know, kind of what I'm doing. I against Houston with no, I was going to say, with TJ Watt playing, I would be hesitant to start Justin Herbert, but I'd play Justin Herbert over Ryan Tannehill. I like Tua over Joe Burrow. I like Tua over Aaron Rodgers. I like Aaron Rodgers over Derek Carr. I like Russ. I like Jalen over Tom Brady this week. Joe Burrow over Brady. Now, the nice thing about Brady is, again, he plays it on Monday night, so you get that extra data to kind of be like, okay, I know how many points I need from a quarterback now. I don't know. I always like having a guy go Monday night. Sneaky plays Justin Fields over Russ, Justin Fields over Rodgers. Those are just plays that I like. So let's go. And this is all based off of PPR. I will let you know if it's not like Antonio Gibson, I like in non-PPR. But like I'd start Myles Gaskins over Michael Carter, Mark Ingram over Michael Carter. Helly Josh Jacobs over Michael Carter, Dante Foreman over Michael Carter, Darrell Williams over Michael Carter. I just don't know what Flacco's going to do. I get it. He's the only option, Michael Carter, but again, still, just saying. I like A.J. Dillon over Zeke. I like A.J. Dillon over A.J. Dillon, James Conner, you know, like A.J. Dillon top 6 to 7. A.J. Dillon over DeAndre Swift. You know, Saquon over James Robinson, Montgomery over James Robinson. I would put Michael Carter over James Robinson. Well, I probably have them the same just because they're probably going to be doing a lot of the same duties. So, yeah, pretty much. You're not really playing J.D. McKissick. I like Tony Pollard over Adrian Peterson, Kenyon Drake, J.D. McKissick, Zach Moss. You know, I like Tony Pollard a lot. Miles Sanders over Peterson, because you know, because if they're just being able to run well the offensive line, maybe Sanders can do something if they promise him. But Howard's probably going to be the goal line back, so you know, unless Sanders can break one, or they just want to give him one. You know, that kind of stuff. Next we have, you know, some receivers, CeeDee Lamb. I bump, you know, CeeDee Lamb, you know, top 10, even with no, Coop, but I do move up Gallup, feeling over DJ Moore. The only thing with DJ Moore that I am not crazy about again is Cam Newton, but Devontae Smith over Michael Pittman. Devontae Smith over Mike Williams. Michael Gallup over Michael Pittman with no Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup over Mike Williams. Christian Kirk over Corey Davis. Christian Kirk over... with no Hop, I like Christian Kirk over Mike Williams. The only thing with Mike Williams and Christian Kirk, two different players, so Mike Williams could end up having a 60-yard like reception where Christian Kirk could end up getting you, like, you know, but that could be the only thing that Mike Williams does. So, just saying. But I like Rashad Bateman over like Jarvis Landry, Rashad Bateman over Kenny Galladay. Like I said, T. Higgins is going to be good. If there's no Marquise Brown, Rashad Bateman over DJ Moore, Rashad Bateman over Michael Gallup, Rashad Bateman over Corey Davis, sneaky play Kadarius Toney. So. And tight ends, I mean, you guys know tight ends. Kelsey, Waller, Kittle, Andrews, Gesicki. Freiermuth should be able to have a decent game as well. Gronk plays going to be touchdown dependent. I like Dan Arnold over TJ Hockenson. I like Dan Arnold over Pat Freiermuth. I like Dalton Schultz a lot. Evan Ingram has burned the Bucks before. He could be a sneaky play. I like Evan Ingram over like Tyler Conklin, Dawson Knox. Adam Trautman, I think, can have a better game than most people expect, a better game than maybe Zach Ertz, Tyler Conklin. just given the circumstances there against Philly's defense and Simeon just trying to get it to him. So, and then kickers, I mean, they're kickers. They're playing Bass, Harrison Bucker, oh God, like Graham Gano, because that could be an interesting game. Gano suck up. Boswell's obviously phenomenal kicker. Tucker, Jason Saunders, Greg Zuerlein. That should be a shootout, so Zuerlein should get a lot of points. I like Zuerlein over like Zane Gonzalez. I like Zuerlein over Randy Bullock. I like Zuerlein, you know. I do like Zane Gonzalez, though, and Joey Sly, because I think they probably do well, and it's just a field goal game. So, but we'll see. We shall see. But in all seriousness, though, with that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys win your weeks this week. Like I said, next week I'm going to try to do a little bit more. Try to work out some more stuff, maybe have a shorter episodes for to cover other things. Like I said, strength of schedule for playoffs, some betting. Again, I want to try to see if we could do betting. I want to, you know, maybe we do those on a Saturday to go over for the football games for Sunday or whatever the case may be. I want to try to do a couple different things. That's what I'm looking for. Once football season's over as well, I know a baseball mock draft happens, so I'm going to do more baseball. And like I said, this is going to be a sports euphoria thing. It's going to be a lot of sports, you know, in general. And then as well as gaming stuff. So if you guys are not gaming fans, pay attention to titles because some gaming stuff's going to be coming down. And fantasy gaming is a thing now, gentlemen and ladies and people of the world. Fantasy gaming is a thing. So if you need a fantasy gaming podcast, Sports Euphoria, we do it all. Again, guys, I appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great weekend. This is a Friday night recording. So if you listen to it on Saturday, have a great weekend. You listen to it on Sunday morning, have a great Sunday. I hope you guys win your weeks. Look forward to more great shit coming out from myself and anybody else on the show. We love it. I love it. You guys are fantastic. Hope you win your weeks as always. And I'll talk to you guys till next time. Later. Hey guys, as always, just wanted to say thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Sports Euphoria podcast. I know this one I was a little solo, and I threw a lot at you guys. Tried some new stuff. So by all means, please follow the socials. Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. I want feedback. Subscribe to the channel. Know when I drop new episodes. Leave comments on Apple, Spotify, Google. I want to know what I'm doing that you guys like and what I'm doing that you guys don't like. Trying to dabble with a lot of different things here and give you guys the best content I can, the best content we can at Sports Euphoria. So it definitely means a lot, all of this stuff. But I really hope you guys enjoyed this latest episode, the Week 11 preview and the Thursday Night Football review. And I hope this helps you guys win your weeks. Thanks so much. Stay tuned for the next episode. Peace out.